The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Busy day. This is going to be one of those shows that may be a crash and burn. Steve Patterson's press conference in Texas, leaving Arizona State to become the AD in Texas, is taking place here momentarily. We're going to bring some of that to you. Jake Plummer is going to be with us on today's show. As always, Jake Plummer joins us live. Jake Plummer in the Fiesta Bowl, a winning combination. Jake Plummer in about 15 minutes. Clark Judge, all things NFL. We'll talk around the National Football League, the Richie Incognito story. Our good buddy Jim Ewing, the high school coach from Chandler High, has been a part of the show in the past. Jim Ewing coached Richie Incognito in high school here in the Valley. Jim Ewing was on the Today Show today to talk about the Richie Incognito Miami Dolphin disaster. And Coach Ewing's going to join us on the show here in a few minutes to talk about his 5 minutes of fame on the Today Show and the Richie Incognito story. That is some of what is coming up. Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing or Everything, depending on the day, has his Facebook question of the day.
Don't know if you caught the Suns game last night, but these Phoenix Suns, Brad, they're pretty dang entertaining for a bunch of no-namers.
And we knew this. We knew they'd be fun.
One of those kind of no-namers, but not anymore, is Eric Bledsoe. So, we ask you today, the Suns' 23-year-old point guard, Eric Bledsoe, continues to impress.
Yeah.
Who is the most exciting young player, college or pro,
ooh,
in Arizona sports?
Well, we haven't seen Jahi Carson yet on the floor this year, but Jahi will make his debut tomorrow night. We've not seen Aaron Gordon at all yet down in Tucson. Those are on the college end.
Yeah, Jahi was the first name that popped in my
head. Yeah, I mean, and we know Jahi is going to be terrific as long as he stays healthy.
Tyrann Mathieu
comes in and has opened a lot of eyeballs. We're talking about guys in their first year. Or guys that are in probably their last year of college, or it doesn't matter about college.
No, just, I mean,
Jalen Strong's pretty darn exciting.
I would say Paul Goldschmidt. He's not that old. He's 25 years, 26 years old.
Oh, he's an old graybeard. He's been around. Put Paul Goldschmidt
for three. He's been in Major League Baseball as long as Eric. Let's define this question. He's been in Major League Baseball as long as Eric Bledsoe's been in the NBA.
Yeah. All right. I'll give that to you.
Head over to facebook.com/sports360az. Answer today's question.
Like our page, share the input. That's facebook.com/sports360az. And of course, on White Mountain Radio and on sports360az, we're on Twitter as well, at Brad Sesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Plenty of content. We have a big day in front of us. Tonight, we're going to be out at Santan Ford. Jack Roush, the legendary NASCAR owner. Jack Roush is going to be out there tonight. I'm going to be doing a sit-down with him. He founded the engineering company. He interviewed the first 100 hires to ensure they shared his work ethic. We're looking forward to doing a sit-down with Jack Roush tonight. That is open to the public, by the way, tonight out at Santan Ford. That is the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino, where you pull down that slot, you have the big winnings, you get it done. The weekend is upon us. Make those plans to head on up, eat some great food, have some fun. Those crab legs are tremendous. Watch some sports all at the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. So Arizona State is going to have a conference call today, from my understanding, behind the scenes with the Sun Devil Club to start to talk about candidates to be the replacement for Steve Patterson. This continues to be the overriding story here in the Valley. I put up a long column last night with seven candidates, all looking to replace Steve Patterson. We take you now live to Texas here on Sports 360 AZ. Steve Patterson being introduced as the athletic director at Texas, leaving Arizona State.
I want to thank Bill and the committee for putting their faith in me. You know, I graduated twice from here. I've been impressed with the job Bill's done all these years, growing this great university into a greater university year by year by year. It's a great brand. It's a great life-changing place. And to be able to follow DeLost Dodds in this role, it's something I never really thought about, and because how do you follow somebody like DeLoss, who's really built this program? I remember when he came here, and I was a student, and He said this morning there were 30 people in the department when he started, and I remember the scale of the department then, and he's built it into the envy of college athletic departments across the United States. You know, so I look forward to continuing that tradition with DeLoss, working with Chris Plonsky here and working with Bill and all the folks that are here at UT. This is a premier program, has been for decades. We want to compete for championships day in and day out. We want to continue to graduate our students and do it with great ethics and follow the rules. And, you know, I was really attracted to come here.
This is Steve Patterson live on Sports 360 AZ. Steve Patterson, outgoing at ASU. Supportive. Let's hear from him.
He could have kept me from coming home, but he's a good man. He wasn't going to let that happen. And so I'm happy to be able to be here with my family, my wife, Yasmin, and my son, Austin. Austin's been lobbying me the last week or so. And, you know, just so you understand, when he was born, I was thinking that we ought to name him Bevo. my wife didn't quite think that was appropriate. She had some other ideas, so we settled on Austin. So it's great to be back in Austin with you, Austin. But I just want to tell you how excited I am to continue to build on the tradition that DeLoss and all the people here have developed over the years. You couldn't pick a finer institution to work for, and I'm really excited to be able to roll up my sleeves and get started to work with all these great folks to continue to grow this brand and grow this program and go forward for many, many years to come.
Yeah, that's Steve Patterson's press conference. That was actually live as we're speaking here in Texas. Steve Patterson introduced today as the athletic director. If he says anything about ASU, we'll bring you some of that. So that's going on here in the middle of the day. I think some of the other stuff today around the Sun Devil Club and this conference call, who are some of those candidates that will move forward? Tomorrow, Mike Haynes is going to join us on the show, the great Sun Devil, the Hall of Famer. I think he's an interesting name that's out there. I continue to believe Jeff Van Raphorst is somebody that would have an interest in it. Now, some of you will just shake your head and say, well, he's never been a sitting AD. I understand that, but ASU is a stepping stone job. No matter what the president of the university says, I know he had to say that to Paula Bovin at the Republic. That's just, the facts are this. Kevin White went from ASU to Notre Dame. Gene Smith went from ASU to Ohio State. Steve Patterson went from ASU to Texas. It's a stepping stone job in Tempe. Now, to end that, have somebody who's not going to want to leave. I think Mike Alden, the athletic director at Missouri, would be an interesting candidate. These are all names that I am interested in. I am not saying that they are interviewing. I think there's still a process of about four names, from my understanding today, that they want to kick around among those within the Sun Devil Club and others. So we'll go through that as the day progresses. One name that many of you have asked about, Greg Byrne, the athletic director at the U of A. I can't see it happening, but I had Greg Byrne on yesterday's show, and I asked him about the whispers of his name to Arizona State. In the last 24 hours, as soon as Steve's name left, I got overrun with, we need to go get Greg Byrne. This coming from the ASU fans. He's a Sun Devil. He needs to come back to ASU rather than the U of A. I have to ask the question.
I'm an Arizona Wildcat, very proudly.
And that was Greg Byrne yesterday, and I live in Gilbert, and I could just as easily live in Surprise tomorrow. So what do I mean by that? You could be an Arizona Wildcat today, and tomorrow it could all change like that. That's just the world of college athletics. So when I hear this stuff about loyalty and all that, and I talked to some people last night who openly questioned, these are loyal ASU people, but they're level-headed thinking ASU people. Would the ASU athletic director's job be a better job for Greg Byrne than the one he already has in Tucson? Think about that. Oh, how could you suggest such a thing? Oh, I don't know. How many pro sports are in Tucson? The answer is zero. How many entities are you competing with here if you're the athletic director at Arizona State? The answer is almost a dozen. Well, what do you mean? There's just the Suns and there's just... No, there's more than the Suns and there's more than the Coyotes and there's more than the Cardinals and there's more than the Diamondbacks. You have the Waste Management Open. They're going to want some sponsorship dollars for the golf tournament. You have a couple of NASCAR races. They're going to want sponsorship for their events. You have the Olympic Training Center that's going to come here for USA Basketball. They're going to want some sponsorship dollars. I could go down the list on and on and on. You're Greg Byrne. What are you competing against? Minor League Baseball, the WGC event, which might leave Dove Mountain, you've got it all down there. You own the paper, you own the radio, you own the electronic media. If you say, we don't want to put somebody on a show because you guys aren't nice to us, you can just shut anybody out you want down there. It is Tucson. I'm not big on that city. It's nothing personal. I didn't go there. I didn't go to ASU. It's just, look, what's a better job? U of A, ASU. You're Greg Byrne. The Suns. So Eric asked a good question about Eric Bledsoe. I want to get into that. Jeff Hornacek, down the stretch, let his team play. I don't know if you watched the remaining 30 seconds of the game. Suns had a chance to take the lead. Bledsoe comes down the floor. He slips on a fall away. It ends up being an air ball. Tony Parker hits the free throws. He scored 15 of the Spurs' final 16 points. I'm fine with Jeff Hornacek not taking a timeout in the closing seconds. It's a young team. Figure it out. I don't know if you saw the punch-out dunk by Archie Goodwin last night. It was a terrific play. There's going to be nights where he tries to make an air of enthusiasm play, and I'm fine with airs of enthusiasm. I preach that here on this show and what we do with the website. Try things out. If it blows up, it blows up. We're fine with that. Same thing applies when watching the Suns.
It's funny, Brad. I was out to dinner with some friends last night. And they had the game on in the bar. Of course, we had to ask them to put a local game on in a bar. It was actually the Mississippi State volleyball game.
Oh, of course. Of course.
And my buddy said, you know what? I've only watched the Suns for bits and pieces this season, and it's already more exciting than what I saw the last two or three years. Through the first couple games this year.
Eric, it's not often I sit on the show and say I was right, because I know you hate that and I hate that, but gosh almighty, to have ownership just sit around for 3 years and twiddle their thumbs and put that crap out on the floor the last 3 years, and then have people pay full price, and now all of a sudden it all's forgiven. I can't forgive that easily. I can't forgive when you just know you're putting out a product that's not any good. And we said, go be really bad and then you'll get really good. And they didn't have the guts to do it until now.
The problem is they're supposed to be really bad. And from what we've seen so far this year, they're not bad.
Well, they're not bad. Look, do I think Eric Bledsoe is playing a lot of minutes and eventually he's going to hit some nights where it's not pretty? Yeah, that's going to happen. And Archie Goodwin's going to have to play more. Alex Len so far hasn't done anything. But you look at the other pickups, Miles Plumlee looks like a guy that's hungry to play out on the floor and get things done. The Tony Dorsett story is very sad. It's very, very sad. Tony Dorsett diagnosed with CTE, the brain syndrome, brain damage. And he doesn't even know sometimes how to get to his daughter's volleyball games. I've got to take them to places that I've been going for many, 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 many years, and then I don't know how to get there. How to drive his youngest daughters, ages 15 and 10, to their soccer and volleyball games. That's awful. Jake Plummer's on the other side. We'll have Jake Plummer with us next. The Fiesta Bowl and Jake Plummer, a winning combination. Steve Patterson talks about ASU at all. We'll bring you some of that back. That press conference going on, brought it to you earlier. Clark Judge, all things NFL in about 15 minutes. We'll hear from Tony Dorsett a little bit later on in the show. More context. I'm big on context on this show. Let's just sit here and talk about what's going to happen to the Cardinals on Sunday against the Texans. We'll get into that. There's so much more going on than just that here in the Valley and across the great state of Arizona. On the college, the high school, and pro level. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat with you. Big sports night ahead. I don't know. This is a no-brainer for me. I'm not on to the Vikings and Redskins. I've seen enough. Okay, I got it. Christian Ponder, I understand. RG3, it's fine. I've got Baylor tonight, who could be here in the Fiesta Bowl. I've got Baylor against Oklahoma. Baylor's undefeated. That's at 5:30. I've got Oregon at Stanford tonight at 7 o'clock. And I'm interviewing Jack Roush, the famous NASCAR owner, at about 5 o'clock today out at Santa Fe. I got a good day and night in front of me. The segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Again tonight, Jack Roush, your opportunity to meet Jack from 6 until 8 o'clock tonight. Legendary NASCAR driver, owner. Of course, Roush Racing, Roush Fenway Racing. Well, I wonder if he celebrated the Red Sox win. He's got Carl Edwards, Greg Biffle, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. It'll be a lot of fun. How fast is too fast? We'll talk to Jack all about that tonight. Now it is time for our Fiesta Bowl weekly segment with Jake Plummer. The Fiesta Bowl and Jake Plummer, a winning combination. I don't know if Jake Plummer was a winner last night at the Biltmore. He was out hitting golf balls. Did you get a hole-in-one last night for the Fiesta Bowl?
I had like 30 hole-in-ones, man.
Get out of here. Shut up. Now, have you ever gotten a hole-in-one, a legit hole-in-one, Jake?
Never. I've been, I think my best shot was at the Phoenician. One time I hit, my ball mark was like 2 inches from the hole, and the ball was about 12 inches past the hole. So kind of got close, but never had a hole-in-one. A lot of guys out there had multiple ones during the shooting that they shoot a bunch of balls. My best shot was 10 feet. I think I got 10 feet to the hole. So
that's cool. And you
spoke. Yeah, not bad. It was fun.
Jake Plummer with us. Jake Plummer in the Fiesta Bowl winning combination. You spoke to the Fiesta Bowl board last night. Is that right?
Yeah, all the committee members and they call them the Yellow Jackets. So, yeah, it was nice. Just basically do the Q&A with Guy Kelly that was the guy leading everything, and he just asked me about my ASU days and pro days and what I'm doing now, and yeah, it was good. Nice evening, and it was a beautiful night. Nice to be back in Arizona. I was only in and out quickly. I had to get back home, but it was nice to be back there.
That's cool. That's cool. What is the most commonly asked question you get on the college football end of things for you?
Well, when I'm down in that territory, obviously it's about what I think about ASU and Taylor Kelly and if they're going to win the South. Otherwise, people just kind of, sometimes it's whatever game's coming on, whatever game or whatever player we're talking about. And, a lot of times I like to throw my predictions out there occasionally just to see what people think and ruffle some feathers occasionally.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, no. So let's ruffle feathers then. Have you seen enough of Baylor to understand if they're legit or not? Let's start with that game before we get to Oregon-Stanford. Baylor undefeated, averaging over 50 points a game. Kansas State held them to just 35 as their lowest output. Baylor, Oklahoma tonight. You got a thought on that one?
I haven't seen Baylor enough. I haven't been able to study them, but I know that, Bryce Petty and Lachey Seastrunk on offense are just, they're a lethal combination. They're kind of a good 1-2 punch like a lot of the good Pac-12 teams here. And so it's going to be fun to see. We're going to get to see if they are legit because, Oklahoma's legit. They're a winning program. They've been there year in and year out. And, it'll be fun to see, who I'm rooting for because I like to see new blood, new teams come in. So I'm hoping that Baylor is legit because it'd be fun to see them beat a good Oklahoma team and just keep climbing the ranks. And, if anything happens, if there's a shakeup at the top, maybe you see a team like Baylor in a national title game, which, no one wants to see that. No big corporate sponsors want it. But as a football fan, I would love to see it. I'd love to see a new team get in there and try to win a national championship.
Yeah, they still have Oklahoma State, and they still have Texas to finish the season on December 7th. They have a long ways to go.
Yeah.
But tonight,
we're going to get to see, tonight what they're made of. And then, if they say they get a win tonight, it's not going to get any easier. So that's kind of like, most of those conferences, the end of the year, it's nice to see that they're getting some challenging games. And I know the Pac-12, every game that's left on most of these guys' schedules is going to be a tough one, a legitimate one you got to prepare for.
I heard the baby there. So does the baby get into college football or not?
He actually likes to watch a little bit. If we sit down in front of the TV, he's gotten to where he's able to see things now. So he sees all the colors and stuff flying around on the TV, and he watches a little bit. The other one, Roland, depends how tired he is. If he's tired, he might sit and watch, but he rarely sits still. So,
do you teach them to say Wildcat or Sun Devil?
Sun Devil, of course.
Yeah, all right. You don't have any blue or red. You have no blue or red onesies in the house.
There's blue or red onesies, but I'm not that crazy. I don't give two. If it doesn't say Wildcat on it, that's the main thing. But I'm a fan of what the Wildcats are doing. I really like BJ Dinker. How could I not like a 180-pound QB that's flying around and crazy and making crazy plays and diving for third down conversions and then watching Kadeem Carey. I like running backs that are pure runners, and he's just a pure runner. He's really fun to watch. We're going to get to see him this weekend play, I think, against a very, very quality linebacking core. We're going to get to see the true, real Kadeem Carey come out, his skills will be on display, and I'm looking forward to seeing that game too.
8 o'clock Saturday night, UCLA down in Tucson against the Wildcats. Jake Plummer with us. Jake Plummer in the Fiesta Bowl winning combination with Brad Sussmat every week. Okay, so what are you looking for tonight, Oregon at Stanford?
Oh, wait, there's that game on too?
Yeah, wow. I know. You're all over the Vikings.
That one. Yeah, that's probably the first radio sports show that hasn't talked about them from the get-go. But that's good. That's good, because I think a lot of times these big games get so blown out of proportion that even though they're good games, they're letdowns because people are waiting and wanting to see, like, this epic game that they've heard about for so long. And now it's been over almost two weeks of, you know, prognosticating about who's going to do what and this and that. I think it's going to be a great game. It's two different styles. It's kind of the old school versus the new school, and it's beautiful that it's the two top teams in the Pac-12 and two of the top five teams in the nation. So a lot can happen tonight. As we saw last year, Stanford had a brilliant game plan defensively to limit Oregon. Offensively, they had a great running back. And this year, again, they have another good one in Tyler Gaffney. So it's going to be, two different styles. One wanting to eat up the clock, sustain drives, take a long time to score. And the other one, Oregon, wanting to run as many plays as possible, score as fast as possible, get the offense on and off the field. And it's going to be fun to watch. I'm excited.
Okay, so DeAnthony Thomas said, quote, "We should put up 40 on Stanford's defense." I look at Stanford's defense. Trent Murphy is a beast. Yeah. Absolute beast. Cove's a very good player. The physicality of Stanford's defense against Oregon, some people are saying that Oregon's offense is not physical enough for Stanford. Do you see that, Oregon offense, Stanford defense?
Yeah, you know, I think that's what they ran into last year. They were a lot of what Oregon did does so well is they get outside of the tackles, and last year Stanford had a plan for that. They kept them inside the tackles. The production outside the tackle was not there for Oregon, and so I imagine Stanford's going to try to do the same thing they did last year. We're very similar. Whether they can accomplish that or not, obviously they've had some different players out there, but they're a smart team. They're going to be in the right position. It's going to be a chess match, you know, when Oregon changes the play. It's how well does Scope check the defense and get all those guys in line. I think Stanford's chances, if they play bump and run outside, you know, to disrupt the rhythm of the passing game for Oregon and, you know, bottle up that run game, they'll slow them down, but I don't think they're going to contain them the whole game. Like Anthony said, it's hard to stop that offense this year. With Mariota the way he's throwing it now, they're, you know, so multidimensional that I think Stanford will not stop them like they did last year. And if Stanford can score is the question. Can they, can they get big plays themselves with their receiving core that's not like it was last year? They don't have those, you know, dynamic tight ends. And so it's going to be fun. I think, you know, I don't like to say it's going to be a great game because I'd like to wait and see. But I'm going to watch it start to finish and hope that the right winner comes out that'll help the Pac-12 inch closer to hopefully getting into the national title game.
A couple other questions. I'll let you go. Jake Plummer with us every week. Jake Plummer in the Fiesta Bowl winning combination with Brad Sussmat. You want to be an AD?
Had I studied anything administration-wise in college, maybe I'd come down and try to do that. But I don't think so. Not this day and age at the Pac-12. I mean, it's so pressure-packed. Everything's about the money and the TV deals and
it has nothing to do with sports, really. Yeah, it has everything to do with the business side.
It's really, you know, I mean, an AD at high school would be fun. Yeah. I'm throwing a name out there, Jason Verdugo. He's an AD at Hamline University, an ASU grad, a Tucson native, a Phoenix, Arizona native, and a guy that, you know, I don't know if he's obviously not qualified because he hasn't done it at a huge college yet, but, you know, I always like seeing guys that have their roots there get a chance to really work hard for an organization like that. But I don't even know what the AD, like you said, it's a whole totally different job these days.
I'll throw a name at you, Jeff Van Raphorst. Got his MBA, really smart business guy. He's not going anywhere. I think he wants to get in, but I'm not quite sure yet. Mike Haynes is another guy.
Yeah, but both of those guys, I mean, why would, if you had a qualified ASU grad, like one of them, I mean, people talk about the Rose Bowl that I went to, but there's one guy in the ASU history that's a quarterback that's won a Rose Bowl, and that's Jeff Van Raphorst. And, you know, great guy, knows sports, is a Sun Devil through and through. And, you know, I'd love to see him get in the mix. That'd be awesome. Someone that I actually know, not some guy that transfers from some other big, huge college that he just transformed into a winner, and get a guy that, you know, is going to put his heart and soul into it. That'd be awesome.
Okay, let me throw this at you, and this is last question here. This is a little complicated, but your view of locker room dynamics and the whole thing that's been going on down in Miami this week, because this does go over on the college end of things. There's a dynamic in a high school locker room, a college locker room, yeah, a pro locker room. The dynamics of the locker room are now being talked about in this entire case. You might have a thought on the case in general, or just what goes on in the locker room, because now it's being pulled back. The curtain's being pulled back, and it's not pretty sometimes.
You know, I think that it's a locker room. It's a private place. I don't like that the media can even come in there. So I don't think it's anybody's business. And, you know, what happened is getting so blown out of proportion and out of context, and people that have no idea, have never even, probably didn't even know who Richie Incognito was prior to this, are, you know, rushing to judgment and saying this about him and this and that. Everyone is different. Every locker room is different. It's about respect. And if there was a lack of respect there and all that went down, then that's the problem, because, you know, you got to keep your teammates respecting each other in the utmost, really, because that's the most important thing, is the players. And, you know, I don't know. It's a big hullabaloo. Everybody's blowing it out of proportion, and it's a bad sign for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they say, it's a tough guy league, and sometimes if you're not tough, you get run out, you get tested. Guys want to test you and see if you're tough and see how far they can take it before you break. That's been happening for years, and it's never going to stop. It's a rough, violent sport, and you can't take the violence and the toughness and the roughness out of it. And like I said, what happens in a locker room is kind of, that's privy to the people that are there. You don't really talk about a lot of that stuff because it's kind of a special place to be, and it's no one's business, really. And if he was mistreated and threatened and really felt like something could happen, then yeah, bad move by, you know, Incognito. But if it was just words exchanged between two buddies and it just maybe went a little too far and got a little personal, then they need to work that out amongst each other and not let the media, you know, feud it out for them. But now, today's day and age, everything's out there. So I feel bad for the organization because they're trying to put together a good year, and now this. So, you know, who knows what's going to shake out.
Different level, but when you had your special season at Arizona State and you're playing for a spot that you did at the Rose Bowl, did you have dynamics within the locker room that had to be put in place that year?
Yeah, I mean, you got from walk-ons all the way up to four-year starter scholarship guys, and you just, it's like anything, it's any corporation, it's even in society, there's a dichotomy, there's a top dog and all the way down to the bottom, and the coach is the guy, the coaches are the, you know, the main guys that keep those guys in line and make sure that there's respect, that people are being treated right, and if somebody isn't being treated right, a lot of times it's best to resolve that amongst your teammates and your players. We had player councils at each position, and we didn't want to bug Coach Snyder with, you know, so-and-so isn't going to class or is having a bad time with his girlfriend and we're worried about it. We handled that amongst ourselves as players. We didn't involve the coaches because they're X's and O's and we were a team. And so, yeah, every locker room is different. All yeah. players are different. Some players came from Texas, some from California, some grew up in the burbs, some grew up in the ghetto. And you all just have to get along and, you know, take your differences and make a mesh. And so, you know, like I said, it's sad to see because some things were said that I think are being taken out of context. But even myself speaking on it, I don't know. I wasn't there.
Right.
So
right.
We all don't know unless you were there. And, you know, those two are going to be put out in the spotlight. And in another week or two, no one's going to be talking about it. So
it's kind of like Manti Te'o. It came and went. I'll let you go off that.
Exactly.
I appreciate your time, Jake. Thanks.
Hey, right on, Brad. Have a good one, man. Enjoy those games tonight.
You got it. Jake Plummer with us every week. Jake Plummer and the Fiesta Bowl, a winning combination. Thanks to Jake Plummer. Every week, he is part of what we do here on Sports 360 AZ. It's good stuff right there. How about this Packer husband and bear wife, and he tased her? How about that story? Also tonight, they're giving away bacon at a college to try to get people to go watch their basketball team. It's girls basketball. They're giving bacon away. What does that say? This is sports, right? We're going to hear from Tony Dorsett, Clark Judge, all things NFL next. I'm Brad Sussman. It's Tonight, I'll be out at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, what's all about you? Jack Roush is going to be out there with NASCAR in town this weekend at Phoenix International Raceway, talking about Roush Fenway Racing, one of the great names in all of NASCAR, Jack Roush. He is the team owner for Carl Edwards, Greg Biffle, and Ricky Stenhouse will be out there visiting with Jack tonight. That's 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock at Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Thanks again to Jake Plummer. We now turn our attention to things, all things NFL, with Clark Judge around the National Football League. And it just feels like you and I are talking less and less about games and matchups and talking more and more about the soap opera side of the National Football League and the underbelly, which is not good for Roger Goodell. This continues to be an awful year. If it's Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin, Tony Dorsett with CTE, Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, give me something good that's going on in the NFL right now.
Let's see. We got a competitive race in the NFC East. I don't know.
And those teams aren't. And those teams aren't very good, Clark.
They stink.
Yeah,
they stink.
Awful.
Are you kidding me?
They're awful.
8-8's going to win that division, Brad. But you're right. I mean, I had someone telling me about the Redskins situation, which we talked about in the past. That this goes straight to the top with Roger Goodell. What's he going to do about this? Because it just won't go away, and it's getting worse. Now we got the Jonathan Martin situation, and you're right. It's a black eye for the league because each day the story seems to get worse and more complicated, and then it becomes, well, this is just sort of commonplace in locker rooms. This is what goes on. Well, okay, I understand that. You and I have been in locker rooms before. We know that there's stuff that goes on there that might not play out in the common workplace, a normal everyday workplace. That said, the body of evidence here is pretty damning, and it doesn't really play out in any form. So how's Roger and the league, or how are Roger and the league going to get over this? I don't know. That's why they launched an investigation to try to get ahead of this story, and hopefully they will. My question is, what ultimately happens here? Because someone's going to have to take a fall here, I would think. And I would think probably Jeff Ireland's first in line. I mean, I heard some of his comments that were made, and I think at some point, depending on how this season plays out, someone's going to probably have to go there. And it may be that after the season, if it's another also-ran year for Miami, that Stephen Ross says, okay, enough of that. I can't take any more of this. We need some sort of firm and decisive leadership there, because that's what it looks like. I mean, to the outsider, it looks like, boy, there's sort of a locker room that no one knew what was going on here, despite a leadership council they had. So anyway.
Well, it's like next Monday night, Roger Goodell is going to sit there with the biggest stage for his brand.
Yep.
Watching the Miami Dolphins play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, two horrible situations, and it's going to have to be addressed and talked about. And eventually this will go away, like Manti Te'o eventually went away. It was just one of those stories in the cycle. But I guess, Clark, for you and I, as you've said, we've both been in locker rooms. Has behavior within the locker room changed to a point where the NFL is going to say, we are going to have to assign somebody to a locker room for the legal sake of what's going on? I know that sounds absurd. I would not be in favor of that. But I can see that happening with the litigious society that we're in, depending on how this plays out.
Yeah, I guess you could. I don't see it happening here. I think what we're going to say is we trust our coaches enough. Now, you know, Joe Philbin, was he asleep at the wheel? I don't know. That's why we've got an independent investigator. But we've got enough people there on the spot that we trust, and we're going to have to trust them, because while the behavior in the past or in other locker rooms might not be of this nature, it's still not the kind that's going to draw attention so that the 6 o'clock news is all over it or the national news is all over it. This is somewhat of an aberration, we think. Now, the Riley Cooper situation, I mean, that was another one, another bomb that went off in the summer, and yet that one kind of faded from view because the Eagles dismissed him for a couple days. They said, we can deal with this, and they did deal with it. And he comes back, and now, honestly, while I haven't forgotten it, and I don't think you have or a lot of people have, he catches three touchdown passes, and the, you know, people are going, hey, great, let's go. So that things move on, we move to the next cycle. This one's a little bit different because each day, as I said, it's getting worse, and the Eagles were able to get in front of that story and get it behind them. The Dolphins haven't been, and they finally got in front of it when they said, with Incognito, we're suspending him, and, you know, I can't imagine he ever plays for them again, but we're suspending him indefinitely. Okay, that was a step in the right direction. But then you have the players saying, listen, we've been told not to say anything about this. We are saying things about it. Well, that keeps this thing going. That story is going and going, and you're right. Next Monday, I don't care about the game.
No.
I care about what's the latest development in this, and guaranteed there's going to be another one, and that's what they're going to talk about on national TV.
Okay, have you ever, Clark Judge with us, All Things NFL, have you through the years encountered a situation where players told you, this guy's got to get tougher, or you actually saw it? Yes, I've seen it. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I have. I covered a lot of locker rooms, and I saw it. And when it wasn't of this nature, but
I have
seen that where they'd say, listen, we got to toughen this guy up a little bit. And in essence, Brad, you know, I mean, it's sort of an unwritten rule of the locker rooms. That's the way this game is developed. People in the locker rooms are on these teams. What do they respect the most? They respect toughness in their opponents. And honestly, a guy told me that once about reporters. I respect a guy who won't back down because that's what we like, your toughness. If you don't back down, that's fine. I respect you. I may not agree with you, but I'll let you come over here and talk to us because, you know, you believe what you're saying. You're not backing down. The guys who shrink are the guys that they take advantage of. And that's where this thing seems to be going. I mean, people are trying to portray Jonathan Martin as a bad guy. And I don't know that he is, but because he didn't take up a fist fight with him? Well, you know, good for him. I mean, but in that locker room, they want to see somebody come back, get in his face. And so you hire a guy like Incognito to go in and maybe do the dirty work for you. I've seen it happen before, not to this nature, this extent, because we didn't have tweets. We didn't have voicemails that were recorded for other people. And there's a feeling now, I know, that sort of Martin may have betrayed a friendship with Incognito. That's why we've got the independent investigator. I don't know that happened. All I know is those are the reports. I'd like to hear what's going on here, and I'd like to know what the coaches knew, what the coaches said, and what they did about it, if anything.
Yeah, I think guys like Hartline are going to end up sitting on a stand testifying.
No question.
That's where this is going, and it's salacious, and it has nothing at all to do with the game, which is, I think, the worst thing possible for the league. So let's try to get onto the field. Is Tom Brady recovered? Is the demise of Tom Brady with dirt being thrown on him, is that now back in play that he's going to be Tom Brady? Or is it, can you believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers defense has fallen as far as they have?
Well, I can't believe they've fallen as far as they have because I saw them against Minnesota in London, and they were horrible. They couldn't tackle. They couldn't stop Adrian Peterson.
They're terrible.
So I knew they were bad.
Yeah,
they're terrible. And I think there's got to be a wholesale clean out there. I think they're going to make major changes in the offseason. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Dick LeBeau just said, you know what, I'm retiring. I'm going on to next life and having a good time fading away here. But I look at Pittsburgh, and it's a team that's flawed, and you know, people talk about Roethlisberger and the sacks. It has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with a defense that can't tackle or stop anyone, and you saw it last week. In terms of your first question, Tom Brady, it's amazing how a game like that has us saying, wow, that, his hand? What hand?
Right.
I mean, it's Tom Brady, and I know we had talked about this before, but you look at that game last week, and it's not just Pittsburgh. It's having Gronkowski and Amendola back, and suddenly you look at them and say, hey, they're the Patriots all over again. Well, Brady was throwing to volleyball players before they were batting balls down. Now he's throwing to people who can catch the ball, and I think you can see the difference with him too. Did I think there was something with his hand? I told you before I did. There's no question about it. You watch him on the sidelines, he grabs it. But you look at Pittsburgh, and they couldn't stop you or me now, and you got Brady throwing for over 400 yards and putting up over 50 points on them. Yeah, I think the Patriots are back. If they went anywhere, they're 7-2, so they really didn't go anywhere. But in terms of Pittsburgh, big concern there for you've got to clean this thing out. Now, how long does it take to get them started again? Because they've got a quality quarterback like New England, but they've got zillions of holes that they have to fill.
Let's go off that. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Brad.
Clark Judge, All Things NFL. With us for a few minutes. So there's some stuff that's caught my eye today on the college scene. The Tony Dorsett story is just tragic. Just tragic. And we'll get to that on the other side. Tony Dorsett, guy who's rushed for more than 12,000 yards. He's got the early signs of CTE with his brain. He's forgetting stuff. You'll hear from Tony Dorsett on the other side. Also tonight, Marcus Mariota, the quarterback for Oregon. This is really his stage tonight, I think, to grasp hold of the Heisman Trophy from Jameis Winston. And maybe for Marcus Mariota, the number one overall pick, you'll see him in play tonight. You've got Stanford, terrific defense against Oregon. It's a big, big-time matchup tonight. I'm Brad Sussman. Simply sell it now. How about that? Simply Sell It Now sells people's cars, trucks, motorcycles, RVs, and boats. Let them sell your vehicle, no upfront cost, no hassle. Simply Sell It Now handles all the details, advertises, shows your vehicle, negotiates the price, even closes the deal, handles all the paperwork. They have a website, guys. This is very simple for you. Okay, remember the days of the penny saver? Those days are long gone. right? We got some people laughing behind the glass. Yeah, that's not happening here. All you have to do is go to simplysellitnow.com. Get rid of that boat that's collecting dust, that RV that you never use, that motorcycle that you should have got rid of years ago, that truck that's not doing anything. Simplysellitnow.com. Brad Sussmat with you. Had somebody at ASU during the break call me and want to know if I was really on this Greg Byrne bandwagon. I said, no, you've been listening. This is, you know, he's not going to be the guy, but this is the guy that fans, that people, even some big cigars would love to. I sat this morning with a guy, very well-known guy, front page of the business section guy this morning at the Ritz-Carlton, and he asked me about Greg Byrne. You know, that's, you know, it's fine. That's half the fun of this. At least there's interest in this job. I like that. Earlier, Steve Patterson, we had his introductory press conference earlier on the show. He didn't say much about ASU other than he thanked Dr. Crow. I do wonder on the Crow front, and Eric, you and I haven't had a chance the last couple of days to talk about this. I wonder where Crow said that there's a clause that prevents anyone at ASU from going to Texas. So let's say that Steve Patterson wanted to hire somebody from the media relations department or somebody from any department in the athletic facility. They couldn't go? How's that work? Is there a clause in everybody's contract? I find that one kind of interesting, how that works.
Well, what if Rocky Harris really, really, really wants to be the AD here and they pick someone else?
Yeah.
And Steve Patterson calls and says, hey.
Come on over here.
You want a raise? You want to live in Austin?
Yeah. No, that's my point.
Right.
What if it's Mike Norvell? Mike Norvell is going to be able to go anywhere he wants to go to build a program. He's not going to be the head coach at Texas, but Mike Norvell, I shouldn't say won't be. You wouldn't think that that would be the option for them to go.
He won't be.
Yeah. But if he wanted to go there to be the coordinator down there, could they stand in his way?
Because some assistant coaches look at going from one assistant coaching job to another
right.
as a faster track to get to a big time head coaching job.
Paul Randolph, who you and I are big fans of. Big fans. We're both big fans of Paul. Paul Randolph walks in to ASU and says, hey, I got a phone call from Steve Patterson. No, you can't go. Then you're going to cause with internally, because I've seen that happen over there before or at other colleges. Well, they won't let me go over to that place. You're not competing with Texas. You're competing with U of A. You're competing with UCLA.
Yeah, no offense to ASU. They can't compete with Texas.
No.
No offense.
No. Did you see Tony Dorsett last night outside the lines?
I didn't see it, but I heard it.
Wow. Guys, Tony Dorsett, here's a guy that ran for more than 12,000 yards with the Dallas Cowboys. He came out of the UCLA Medical Center on Monday and was told that he's been diagnosed with the signs of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, which means his brain is deteriorating. Okay, and we've gone through this. We've been talking about this since we started the show over 2 years ago. It's really hard to hear anybody going through a loss of memory, especially when they're not even beyond their mid-40s yet. Tony Dorsett is almost 60, and it's hitting him now. And it still hits me hard because that's a name that I grew up watching. We all loved watching Tony Dorsett. He's now 59, which is hard to believe. But you hear it in guys that are in their 40s. You hear it in guys in their 50s. Here's Tony Dorsett on how he doesn't even recognize himself anymore.
I get frustrated, and I look at him, I say, you're not... You're just in this shell. You're not Anthony Tony Dorsett. You're not him anymore. Who are you? Who are you becoming? I beat myself up. I challenged myself. Who are you becoming, man? Look at you.
Tony Dorsett was asked if he's ever considered suicide.
You know, I've thought about crazy stuff. Sort of like, why do I need to go continue going through this? I mean, I'm too smart of a person, I like to think, to take my life. But it's crossed my mind.
I mean, so he said that he also gets lost when he drives his two young daughters, ages 15 and 10, to their soccer and volleyball games. Gets lost. quote, I've got to take them to places that I've been going to for many, 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 many years, and then I don't know how to get there. And this isn't going away. And when people want to turn a blind eye to it and just give me the, all I care about is football, Brad, I get so mad at you when you bring up this story. And it's different. It's in different phases, different people, different shapes. There's guys that we've had that have come in here before. I think it's fair to say, Eric, I could probably speak for Scott Peters and Gray Rugemer, that both those guys saw and had some things happen to them on the football field that weren't pleasant. I think I can say for Jake that when the NFL was over for him, trying to figure out how to assimilate back in to society was not easy. And so when you're watching these guys, and you know, I've talked about Junior Seau on the show. Junior basically ended my basketball career, which, you know, it's one of those things that happened. And then I ended up hosting the Junior Seau show, and we were friends. So I remember Junior as a big old freshman at Oceanside High School, and I was a big stiff at Escondido High, and he threw me into the bleachers on a breakaway dunk, and that was my end of my path of playing basketball. Happened. On a lighter note, so tomorrow you're a fan of Kansas State women's basketball. Well, hey, let's sit around a table and figure out ways to get people to come to the game. What a good idea by offering something free. Well, what a free pom-pom, free t-shirt? No. We're going to offer free bacon. Yeah. So come on out and watch our girls basketball team play, and we will give away free bacon with your student ID starting at 4:45. That story is just awesome that somebody would say, well, let's just cook up some bacon. Who's going to show up? Well, lots of people will show up for free bacon to watch the K-State women's basketball team. And then you have the guy that decides to tase his wife. The Packers lost to the Bears, particularly painful for one Packer fan who was tasered by her husband, who's a Bears fan, to settle a bet after Monday's game. Eric, I know that you and your bride-to-be, I'm sure, have bets around things that you will tase her after it's done.
0% chance that happens.
You can't make this stuff up. It takes the rivalry to a whole new level. After the Bears beat the Packers, this guy and his wife, who police say had both been drinking, what a shock. They went outside to an alley next to a bar to smoke cigarettes. He tasered his wife twice in the buttocks while she filmed it with her cell phone camera. Oh, stop. Stop.
My future bride actually does have a taser, so I guess I could suggest
stop,
that.
Stop. No, no, stop. Of course, this makes perfect sense. Hey, the Bears beat the Packers. Let's go out back so I can tase you. The police chief said the woman was laughing during the first two taserings caught on video, but when Grant tasered her a third time in the thigh, not on video, she considered that to be over the line. Stop! An argument ensued, of course it did, that led to the woman calling police. First of all, if I could date a girl and go to a bar and get hammered and then go smoke a pack, and then have her say, yeah, I'm all down with getting tasered, chances are pretty good it's not going to be a long-lasting relationship. The guy made the initial appearance in court yesterday. They advised him of charges. He was given another court date. He's not been released. Of course this comes up in our legal system. This is a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to use resources in a very troubling, tough case. We want to send an example. Don't taser your girl in the butt or in her thigh after the Bears play the Packers. It's only in sports, guys. You can't make this stuff up. White Mountain Radio, sports360az.com, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Thanks for being with us. Tonight, we are going to be out with Jack Roush, Roush Racing. Eric, you looking forward to this? Jack Roush is one of the legends in all of sports, really. Roush Fenway Racing. And I wonder if he celebrated the Red Sox victory. He has Greg Biffle, Carl Edwards, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. We're going to do a sit-down tonight with Jack Roush.
There's a big race this weekend, too.
PIR. He's in town for that. How fast is too fast? Talk to Jack Roush tonight about that, and that'll be up on the site as well over at Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Eric's Facebook question of the day is, even in a loss last night, the Suns' 23-year-old point guard Eric Bledsoe continues to impress early in the season. In your opinion, the most exciting young player, college or pro, in Arizona sports is? What are the responses so far?
We did get a Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah.
A couple Chihi Carsons. Someone said Aaron Gordon, the super impressive freshman at U of A who hasn't played a single game yet, but is probably already headed to the NBA after this year.
Right. Do you like how they're doing mock drafts for next June, and Gordon is already in it, and he hasn't played a game yet?
And he looks the part. And from what I've seen, especially from his mixtapes and stuff, he's going to be a stud, and U of A is going to have a really good team down there.
His mixtapes?
Yep.
His mixtapes?
Well, on YouTube.
Yeah. Is he mixing, or is he playing basketball?
He's playing basketball, but they're called mixtapes.
They're called mixtapes.
Yep. Highlight tapes.
Not recruiting reels.
Either one.
I have to get up in this speed here on these things.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, there you go. Orange, orange. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. That is our website. We've noticed the last couple of days there's a lot of you coming to the site to get the latest on the ASU athletic director search or just some context to that story. I have a column up right now that has seven names to consider. I'm not saying they're going to happen. It's seven names to consider for the next athletic director at ASU because there's far-reaching implications on this hire. Let's say they brought in a guy like Mike Alden from Missouri. Mike Alden would come in from Missouri. He went to ASU, graduated from there, was in the athletic department. He'd probably be bringing in some of his own people and there'd be some nervous people on campus. And Todd Graham is going to be in the middle of this deal. This isn't the days where Todd Graham, football coach, is the de facto athletic director. This is not Joe Paterno. This is not Bear Bryant. This is not Bob Devaney. It's not one of those deals in this day and age. You can't have the football coach, Barry Alvarez, Wisconsin. You can't have the football coach be the athletic director. So whoever comes in here, one of the first questions is going to be asked is, how do you see your relationship with Todd Graham working? And the press conference answer will be, oh, we're going to be fine. I respect Todd. He's done a tremendous job here. Blah, 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 blah. When in reality, it's, well, he wasn't my hire, and we'll see. That's how that's going to work. Let's get you caught up on some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by ShopTates.com. ShopTates.com for all your automotive needs. Jim Ewing in a couple of minutes. Jim Ewing was on the Today Show today. Former high school football coach here in the Valley at Chandler High School, before that at Mountain Ridge High School. Why was he on the Today Show today? Was it the second story, Eric? Is that right?
Second story.
Like 7:02, Matt doesn't even have the chair warm yet in Savannah.
7:06.
Wow. And Jim Ewing from Yuma Catholic High School is the second story on the Today Show because he was Richie Incognito's high school coach. So we tracked down Jim. We'll have him with us here in a couple of minutes. The Steve Patterson press conference was held earlier today in Texas. Here is Steve Patterson from earlier today, his introductory press conference at Texas.
You know, like any job, people look at what are the characteristics. I think most successful ventures between employer and employee really are all about fit. You know, is it a good fit? If it's not a good fit, you can be tremendously talented and it can be a disaster. But I think it was a great fit. I've lived here. I know a lot of the people here. I know a lot of people around the department.
That is Steve Patterson now at Texas. We'll close the door on that story. It's my understanding the Sun Devil Club is going to have a conference call today starting to talk about candidates. Again, I've got seven candidates up on sports360az.com. You can check out, share with your friends and all that. The Suns last night, it was a valiant effort, I would say, and it came down to the final moments in San Antonio.
Double-teamed is Morris. Morris dribbles out of the corner of the wing. Pass out front to Gerald Green. Knocked away by Danny Green. Gerald Green got it back. Throws up a three left wing. That shot's off the backboard. No good. This ball game is over. The San Antonio Spurs hold on and defeat the Phoenix Suns as Tony Parker scores 15 points in the fourth quarter.
I was fine with this last night. The Suns fought hard. They fought valiantly. They came up just a little bit short. They're 3-2. I'm not seeing a bunch of guys that are not going to be in the NBA in 3 years or 5 years from now losing games that are really hard to watch. Instead, I'm seeing, Markieff Morris last night at 23-12. Who is this guy? If you can get Markieff Morris to do anything on the floor, then you're doing a very good job of coaching. Gerald Green had 15, Bledsoe 14, Miles Plumlee had 15. Miles Plumlee sitting on the bench in Indiana last year and just sitting there watching behind the scenes clearly has proven dividends for him.
Young, talented, and cheap. The perfect recipe for Ryan McDonough if you're looking at guys.
Yeah. He's not a stiff. He put a couple moves last. He had one head fake, one dribble to the hole around Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan was nailed to the floor. Look, I get it. San Antonio and it's November. They don't care. I know where they're going to be in April, but I'm not going to take anything away from the Suns and their effort. They're home tomorrow night against Denver. The Coyotes last night, they ended up getting beat by Anaheim 5-2. Doan scored early, and then they got blown out. We have the NFL weekend starting tonight with the Vikings against the Redskins. I don't care about that game. I've seen enough of Adrian Peterson. I've seen enough of RG3. I don't care. The big story is Richie Incognito. So now it's come out today that the legal process has started, that Jonathan Martin has gone out and he's lawyered up today. And so he's already getting people in place in case he gets cut. What are they going to do? They're circling the wagons around Jonathan Martin. Joining us for a couple of minutes now is Jim Ewing, the coach who has been a part of Pros to Prep since day number one, now Sports 360 AZ. Jim left from Chandler. He is at Yuma Catholic. He was Richie Incognito's high school coach. Jim Ewing hit the big time. We had to go through his agent, everybody to get him on the show, because earlier today, Jim Ewing was story number two on the Today Show. Hi, Coach. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hey, Brad. How are you?
You big star. So the Today Show comes calling. What's that phone call like?
You know, it kind of, you know, I'm getting a couple calls, obviously, this week with the whole situation down in Miami. But that one, the Today Show, kind of caught off guard. And they actually, I guess, took some stuff because they'd done a Skype interview with Channel 12 earlier in the week, and then the local NBC station down here in Yuma came out and did a little bit. So they took some, I guess, edited out some of that footage. So I didn't get to see it. So I didn't even get to see my moment of fame on the Today Show.
Nobody's called you to say you were brilliant on the Today Show other than us?
You're the only one, Brad.
Get out of here.
No, and that's why you're my man.
I find that hard to believe. Jim Ewing with us for a couple of minutes. He's at Yuma Catholic, former Chandler High coach, Mountain Ridge coach. What do you make out of the whole Incognito stuff as the days, the week has unfolded? It seems to me, Jim, it's a story that changes by the hour, literally.
It really does. I mean, each day when you get up, there's a new piece to the puzzle. And it just, I don't think we're ever going to probably have the incomplete picture of what's going on, but it definitely has turned maybe not 180 degrees, but it's turned significantly since when it first broke.
And when you first heard the news, did you think, okay, some people are going to be calling me because I coached Richie in high school?
Yeah, I thought there was a chance.
Yeah.
You know, especially when it went national in nature.
Now, have you spoken to him?
No, you know, and it's kind of, you know, it's just one of those things. Rich, we haven't stayed close. We haven't really had any contact since he went off to Nebraska, and then I left Mountain Ridge and went over to Chandler at that time, the same time that he graduated from high school.
And so you have people asking you about this story. What hasn't been said that you feel like needs to be said when you coach this kid in high school, or has everything already been out there?
Well, there's a lot out there, and, you know, it's one of those things. He was a young kid. He graduated at 17. He didn't turn 18 till the summer before he went up to college up in Nebraska. And, you know, from my perspective as his high school coach, he was pretty much a low-maintenance kid. I mean, he bought into the weight program. I mean, he worked extremely hard in the weight room. He practiced hard. He played hard. I mean, he wasn't definitely, no one's ever going to pick him to be a choir boy or a Boy Scout or anything like that. I mean, probably led our team probably in penalties.
Yeah.
But he also was the, you know, Frank Cush Offensive Lineman of the Year, selected that year, his senior year in high school. He played hard. He had a chip on his shoulder. You know, his folks had told us, I guess, back when he was in grade school, because he was a big kid, that he'd been teased and stuff like that. And that probably was part of his motivation to really buy into the weight room. And he could be, He could be one of the greatest guys to be around. And then he could have his moments where, you know, I don't think he would have ever been voted Miss Congeniality on our team.
Yeah. Jim Ewing with us for a couple of minutes. Always good to catch up with the coach. He's at Yuma Catholic now. He did coach Richie Incognito. He was his high school coach here in Arizona at Mountain Ridge High. As you have seen this story unfold, have you found yourself asking, could I have seen any of this? Should there have been something I could have done? Have you played that game in your mind, Jim?
No, I have. You know, and obviously, and everybody talks about it. You know, it's one of those things at work. Everybody's kind of talking about it. And you do kind of go back and you look back, and is that something we've seen? And I guess probably the first significant incident was whatever happened and went wrong up in Nebraska where they removed him from the program up there.
Right.
That probably, and, you know, obviously we didn't have anything. I mean, Richie took care of his eligibility issues in high school. He probably could have been a better student than he was. But he, you know, he was always a A, B, and C student. He took care of that obligation. He never got in a fight on campus or anything like that. But then on the other hand, he probably led our team in penalties. You know, and we addressed those things at that time. We addressed those things as we could. You know, I'm an old school guy. Running can cure everything. So, you know, he did his share of running and practice.
That's good. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your insight. Thanks, Coach.
It's always good to hear from you, Brad. Thank you.
Jim Ewing with us for a couple of minutes down in Tucson. ASU plays Saturday at Salt Lake City against the Utah Utes. Eric's going to cover that game for Sports 360 AZ. And the one of the interesting storylines, Dennis Erickson coaching against Todd Graham. Here's Todd Graham on, and these two were not close. I mean, Todd's got a lot of Dennis's players still on the roster, but I think Todd's done a very good job of bringing in quality talent here. The two will meet on Saturday.
You know, obviously, you got tremendous respect for Coach Erickson. He'll be a Hall of Fame coach, obviously. Won national championships. And when I was hired, he was very gracious. I asked for the opportunity to visit with him, and he visited with me and was very gracious and just kind of gave me the lay of the land and that. And so nothing but respect from my standpoint for him.
And Utah's beat up offensively. I think if ASU's defense can get after Utah early, they could put the foot down on them and push a little bit. Tonight, Baylor, Oklahoma. What a great game that's going to be at 5:30. Number 6, Baylor. Number 10, Oklahoma. And then you have Oregon against Stanford. That game at 7 o'clock tonight. Here's David Shaw, the Stanford head coach. He knows they cannot fall behind Oregon early.
All of our games against Oregon have been one that have been hotly contested. The big thing is the games that we've won, we've been able to answer their scores. The games that we haven't, they've scored, and we haven't been able to answer those scores. So it's going to take a great team effort.
And then you have Marcus Mariota over on the other side, the quarterback for Oregon tonight, getting against that Stanford defense.
You know, up front, they're big, and they like to control the line of scrimmage. You know, their back end's good. They got guys that can really make plays back there. So, you know, again, it's one of those deals we got to continue to just focus on what we got to do, and hopefully we're able to kind of just get off the ball and just get things going.
That, of course, Marcus Mariota there. Brad Susmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. White Mountain Radio. It's always going to be on White Mountain Radio. And, of course, our website, Sports360AZ, and on Twitter, at Brad Susmat, C-E-S-M-A-T.